It is such a beautiful time of the year. And if you don't like the cold weather, fear not, because I think it's 16. It's supposed to hit 17 today, so it's going to be good. Yeah, so we're in for a heat wave here, so get ready for that extra degree. Yeah. You know, the Christmas account, and we're in this Christmas series right now, of course, and such an amazing series of events that took place, but one of the most prominent ones, and the one we well know, is the shepherds that were abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night, right? Just outside of Bethlehem. And the heavens opened up, and the angels descended. And they said, "Fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy." Say that. Tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you today is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And they told him, "You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there's with them a heavenly host that was surround him, just blessing the Lord Jesus, the arrival of the Messiah to this earth. And church, we have such reason to have joy in our hearts today. Amen. Please stand with us, and we're going to sing the season favorite, "Joy to the World." Come on, sing with us.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and
let men their songs dance.
God, thank you that we have so much to be joyful for. God, we're thankful you gave us breath in our lungs today to turn back to praise to you, because that's how you made mankind in your image, to give honor and glory to you, our Creator and our God. Father, we bless you in this day. Father, we pray for an anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall in this house. God, I pray a holy presence in this place today as we give our hearts, our minds, our very being belongs to you. We give you our praise. Father, we thank you, God, for this day that we can stand in your love and your grace today. Father, it's you and you alone we worship today in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Come on, sing with us. Stand in your love.
And pain is all I know.
go into this next song. It's a pretty new one for us. It's just a very, very, very powerful song. But I'm reminded in the scripture how often we are reminded as believers to be thankful with the heart of gratitude. In fact, that's where Israel in the wilderness fell off the bandwagon because they weren't grateful. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the heart that is away from God. And he says time after time, they did not give thanks to the Creator, to the Savior, the God in heaven that they know exists in their heart. They refused to give thanks to the and glory to our God. So today as we sing gratitude, make it more than words. Make it pouring out of your heart to give gratitude to our God. Amen. Come on, sing it with your lungs.
Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs, get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs, get up. Jesus, we just praise you, God. Father, there's so many people in our congregation today that need a complete healing from you. And all we can do is worship you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Tore the night apart and ripped the silent skies in half. Your glory breaking through the dark. And here our worlds collide, divinity and man confined. This great design drawn out for me.
are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be honored. You are worthy to be worshipped. King of kings and Lord of lords. You are King of all the earth. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. It's not too many times I get up here. I don't know if I've ever got up here. And I did not have something. But I believe that this morning that the Spirit of God just wanted to be the Spirit of God. And I'm not going to come up with something just so I can say it. Just so I can pray it. Just so I can do it. And I think sometimes we need to get used to the, and for some of us, it can be awkward to just be quiet, right? But I really feel that that's what God wanted, to just be quiet and just allow him to saturate our hearts with himself, past all of our needs and all of our wants and all of our concerns. He is God. Amen. He is God over everything. He knows your needs before you speak them. I just give him thanks this morning. Will you greet somebody and just bless them? Just say hello. Tell them you love them. I couldn't wait to get to church today. I don't know why. Yes, I do know why. But I just can't wait sometimes to get here, to just worship with all of you, to honor God, to praise God, and to hear his word. I don't care what scripture that is read, that is taught upon, it makes my spirit leap inside. It just does. It just lights me up inside when I hear the word of God. It doesn't matter what scripture it is. So let me just put you at ease. I've been alive for, what year is it? It's 55 years. And I've probably heard these scriptures every year. And I never get tired of them. I never get tired of hearing the account of Jesus Christ being born. And all of the events leading up to that is just exciting. If we really knew what it was about and what was really going on in the cosmos outside of our world,
right,
and the battle of the angels, the fallen angels. But you know what the cool thing is? How many of you know that we were created just a little bit higher than them?
Amen.
Just a little bit higher than them. And you know what happens to us? Those spirits, those Nephilim spirits that are the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim, they're demons, right? They try to get you to believe their lies. How many of you know that?
Amen.
Is that something new? I know it's not. But the whole thing was the enemy was trying to get you to... He's trying to usurp your authority. He's trying to get you to give up what you already have. That's why he lies to you. You already have authority over them. Mm-hmm. You have authority. And he lies to you to get you to give your authority to him. I just want that to sink in before I read the scripture. You are higher than all of those things that attack you. He's this big. He's toast. He's this big. You were created higher than them. And you've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. So I just want to encourage you, whatever the enemy is telling you, whatever he's lying to you about, whatever he's making you miserable with, whatever he's trying to tell you to act in the flesh upon, just know that you have authority over all of those things.
Amen.
And nothing by any means will harm you. That's right. That's what the word says. I think that's amazing. I don't know. Just feel like I need to say that. Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." Come
Amen.
On, somebody.
Amen.
And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Working on some last-minute announcements, and I thought of this one. We have I'll get to it at the announcements at the end. We're going to do a clothing drive here for the residents and the people that are at White Deer, and so I'll talk more about that later, but I was reminded of this, and I hope it will sit well with you. This is from the bulletin bloopers. They're some of my favorites, by the way. The bulletin in the old days, it was done on a mimeograph machine, typewritten, right? Mimeographed off, and so, just like anything else, though, there was no spell check on there, there was no graphic, or no check of your writing. So anyway, it says this, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's not that we want you to bring stuff that you're going to throw away, by the way, but we're going to take a used clothing drive. It's a good chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping that are around your house. Be sure to bring your husbands. See, I can say that, get away with it, because I'm a man, right? Yeah. Here's another one. The Over 60s Choir will be disbanded for the summer with the thanks of the entire church. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, "What is hell like?" Come early and listen to the choir practice. We were in, this was in Mexico a number of years ago, and I think Sherry was at this service. We went to this little Mayan village very far from where our home base was, and they took us there, and so we went into this lovely little church, like a chapel, and probably as big as our cafe, and the people, it was almost like it was a village, and their houses were surrounded, and the people came in to worship at the church there. I'll never forget it, and they had an amp about this big, and a guitar plugged into it. And I want to say this as much love as I can. I'm convinced that the young man playing the guitar had never played in his life. And he was just hitting the strings as we were trying to sing. And it was like, it wasn't really lovely, But it was a memorable, he made it a memorable experience, I would say that much. So I'm just blessed that people, though, step up and they're willing to worship God, that their focus is not on themselves, their focus is on the worship of our God. Amen. Amen. So Merry Christmas season to you all once again. We're going to continue on in our Christmas series. This is The Greatest Gift Part 2, Mary, Joseph, and a Season of Surrender, a Season of Surrender. And as we go through this account today, especially with Mary and Joseph and the interaction that Mary had with an angel and Joseph had with an angel in his dream and the change in their thinking that took place, we're gonna see that in reality, as much as it was a gift that was given to them, the Christ child, it was also a surrender. They had to surrender many things, and it's often said you have to give up to go up. But both Mary and Joseph agreed to be part of God's plan, part of God's miraculous plan, by the way. So we were very brave this week, and we drove up to New York City on Friday, left early in the morning. We rented a vehicle, of course. We wouldn't take our own vehicle up there. We rented a vehicle. I mean, if nothing else, when they park it for you, you turn it over to the person who parks it in the garage, and it's like you have no idea how that thing's going to come out, right? You just, you know, and at nighttime you pick it up, you hope it's not damaged. And so, we got a rental car, an insurance waiver, and no worries. But while we were up there, as is typical, not just of New York City, but any store that you go into, you'll hear the Christmas songs singing this time of year, which is wonderful, by the way. I know somebody would say, well, a lot of those are secular songs, and they were. In fact, I can't count how many times while we were there in different stores. Now, we started at Macy's, just to let you know. You people that like the shop, you know that that's like your anchor. You got to go. There's like 10 floors of glory in that. And it's like, I can't tell you how long that building is. And they still have some of the old wooden escalators to the higher floors, by the way. If you're wondering if they're still there, some of them are still there. I don't know how long they've been there, but it's fascinating to me. But you go into the stores, and how many times did I hear this song? And I think it's Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You, right? You've heard that in the stores. And I heard Christmas Wrappings. That's kind of a cool song, Christmas Wrappings. You know, it's kind of the back to the retro 80s kind of a theme that they had going on there. But Please Come Home for Christmas. I think the Eagles did that one. That was one of the ones. And John Lennon did the And So This Is Christmas song. And see, the songs that you will typically hear in those stores. I'm a little sad that there's not more emphasis on the spiritual side, but again, I recognize these are secular stores, and I'm not here to really gauge their music. I'm just telling you what we experienced. But every store that we went to, it seemed like they were playing the same track off of Sirius Radio or something. And so, you know, but again, it's all part of the season. And remember, the good news is this. Whether they recognize it or not, they're celebrating the arrival, the advent of the Son of God to this earth. And all the decorations, and all the lights, and all the fanfare. I even had my red checkered scarf on, because it's just a cool Christmas time. We are celebrating the arrival of Jesus Christ to this planet in the form of a baby. In the form of a baby. I learned this week, and you're familiar with this song, probably are, Mary, Did You Know? It's a Christmas song. It's a beautiful. And I will say that I didn't really know the history. That seems like it was a song that maybe was really old. You know, it really kind of like has that theme and the kinds of notes that you would expect in something of the other Christmas carols, but it's really not. So I learned this week, Mary, Did You Know? From 1984, a Christian man named Mark Lowry, he was a member of the Bill Gaither Band. You remember some? They were big in the 80s and the 90s. He's a member of that band. He wrote the lyrics to the song, Mary, Did You Know? And they wrote the lyrics first, of course. After he'd been asked to write a script for a church Christmas play, he wrote a series of questions that he would like to ask Mary, the mother of Jesus. These questions were used in between the scenes of the play. Over the next decade, Lowry tried to find music that would complete the song. Eventually, musician and songwriter Buddy Green wrote the music to the song. The Christmas play script then became the song, Mary, Did You Know? Right? I won't read the whole lyrics of the song. Maybe did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? That your baby boy has come to make you new. The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. What a beautiful turn of phrase there, isn't that? This child that you delivered is actually your deliverer. Wow, how beautiful. When you kissed your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Did you know, Mary, the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Amen. Wow. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you? The government will rest upon his shoulders. Amen. There is no doubt about that, and thank the Lord. Try as we might as human beings, our government always fails to be what we really need. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding, it's the great I Am. Amen? Wow. How beautiful is that? This series, The Greatest Gift, Part 2, I want to reintroduce to you just a couple things about the gift, because we're going to see these things kind of play out in this account this week based on this passage. I'll be using this passage, and I'll reference the other passage that relates to Joseph's encounter in his dream that he received a visitation from an angel in his dreams, and that's found in Matthew chapter 1. So I'm going to bounce a little back and forth, but a couple I want to remind you, we learned last week, elements of a gift. They have an element of surprise, typically, right? A gift is usually a surprise. The gift has a purpose. It has an intended beneficiary. It's made to get not only to the recipient at hand, but sometimes gifts are like they're given to a person so they can benefit somebody else. They must be received by the recipient. You have to say, yes, I'll take that gift. I don't want to refuse that gift. They're voluntarily given, it's motivated by love, and they have a lasting value. That's really the perfect gift, right? We talked about last week about Zacharias and Elizabeth, his wife, and that's really the kickoff account of the Christmas series, because if you don't understand what was taking place, that God was preparing the way in his sovereign plan for the arrival of the Messiah, that about 6 months before that, he then began to institute through a man who was elderly and a woman who was elderly and barren to boot, that he began to institute his plan for the forerunner named John the Baptist. That the seed was implanted in Elizabeth's womb, that she would then bear this child that we know as John the Baptist. And so this last week, we just went over a couple things. In fact, we entitled it Believing the Impossible, by the way. And it's so beautiful that verse, of course, is in this week. So when the angel said to Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. And I thought about this week as I just did a two or three line review. Zacharias and Elizabeth, now again, they were elderly, probably in their 60s, we believe. It's typically the priest would maybe retire at 50, the descendants of Aaron. But they could continue on, and so it would appear that he may have been in his 60s, and she was elderly as well and barren. But God had prepared those two. Remember, they were faithful, they were true, they were righteous, they were described as righteous. They were both descendants of the Aaronic tribe, the Aaronic line of the priests. But they had been prepared for the exact time of the birth of the forerunner of Jesus Christ. When the angel appears supernaturally in the holy place, as Zacharias has been chosen by lot to burn incense, probably the only time in his life it finally happened for him, the angel shows up and he says something striking to him. Zacharias, your petition has been heard. Your petition has been heard. And it's clear when you see his response, he was not only stricken, but he began to question the angel's message that your wife is going to bear a son. And he is taken aback by all this that's going on. He just couldn't believe it. And one thing to remember from that passage is this, that even though they forgot their petition, God did not forget their petition. And they lived their lives correctly. They lived their lives righteously. They were, what we would say, good people. Good, in our terminology, Christian people. God-fearing people. But what they had hoped for, what they had petitioned God for so many times was a child. They wanted a child more than anything, it would appear. The angel says your petition has not gone unnoticed. It's been heard. Zacharias was so taken back that he begins to counter the angel's message to him that, well, you know, how can this be? He says, because I and my wife are up in years and she's barren, how's this going to happen? And because of his unbelief, the angel says, from now on, until that child is delivered and named at the temple, you'll have nothing to say. You'll be made mute, and you will see the word of the Lord will be fulfilled in its time. And at that very moment, when he came out of the temple, he couldn't speak, and the people were stunned, like, what happened to Zacharias in the temple? He could no longer speak, and it would continue that way. His wife indeed would become pregnant according to the word of the Lord, and she bore a son that they would name him John. In fact, John the Baptist, it was finally when he's taken to the temple on the eighth day to be dedicated according to the law, I'm sorry, actually the 40th day, they're circumcised on the 8th, that he would finally be named, and Elizabeth says he's going to be named John. Well, Zacharias still can't talk. And so they go to him, you don't have any relatives that's John. Does she know what she's doing here, Zacharias? And he gets his pencil out or whatever he used, and he writes it, says his name will be John. And as soon as he fulfilled the word of the Lord, guess what? He got his tongue back, and he began to speak. And so we learn from that, God silenced the unbelief in Zacharias' heart until the holy plan would be fulfilled. John was born and then named John. And here's the message for us, and I'll move on to this week. The message to Zacharias is we can learn from that. We can should spend our time focus on believing what God will do instead of reasoning why he can't do it. Well, he can't possibly do it. Zacharias was busy thinking what God can't do. God was ready to say, this is what I'm going to do. And the mouth of the priest was silenced while the womb of the barren woman was made fertile. Boy, I tell you, you want to be a woman or a man of faith, do yourself a favor that if you have people around you like a Zacharias that are always telling you that's just not going to work, sometimes, you know, you just got to silence those people. I'm not saying to pray to God that their tongue's going to be tied and they don't have anything to say, but sometimes it's good to get a little distance from the unbelieving atmosphere of those that would say such things, because it's this verse I'm about to read is in Isaiah 54, verse 1, that applies beautifully to what happened to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and especially Elizabeth, who would conceive. And it says this, and you'll probably recognize it. Isaiah wrote these words, "Shout for joy, barren one." Now think about that. He's telling the barren wife or the barren woman who has no child, begin to shout for joy. Well, now she's not shouting for joy because she's barren, but here's why. You who have not borne a child, break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud. You who have not yet even travailed in birth pangs. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent stakes. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your pages, for you will spread abroad to the left and to the right. What is he saying? He's saying, look forward to what God is going to do in your life and begin to prepare for it. And don't focus on the barrenness. Focus on what God is going to do in the years ahead through his promises. Get prepared for it. Shout for joy, barren one. Boy, there's a good verse for the church. So this week, Mary, Joseph, a season of surrender. A season, we call Christmas often a season of giving. And that's nice. You know, again, I'm not going to recount with you again my childhood. I forgot something, by the way. Last week, I gave you the list of my memorable Christmas gifts, and I forgot one. And you know what it was? And if you're my age, you may remember they were called Sizzlers, and they were Hot Wheels, right? They were Hot Wheels, but they had a little battery in them. And you had a little, looked like a gas pump. It put batteries in it and a little thing, and you'd plug it in, and you'd charge the car. Charge a little battery, and then the thing would take off, and it would have a loop-de-loop in it, and I forgot about that gift, and that was really cool, by the way. It's my Hot Wheels Sizzlers. I forgot to mention that, and I felt that I cheated you. So now you know that I was a... Anybody remember the Sizzlers besides me? I mean, I'm not the only one. Yeah. Like, they were so cool, right? I mean, they were very cool, and they were very fun. I played with those things for hours. Anyway, it's a season of giving, but I want to just underscore, as a believer, it's a season of surrender. And I will allow this passage that we will study today, in fact, as I said, it'll be Luke and Matthew, to see that Mary and Joseph have paved the way for us. We begin to recognize what they endured for the kingdom of God out of obedience. So we go to Luke chapter 1. It's on the screen behind me. If you got your handouts, your outlines, we're going to get to them at the end. I'm going to kind of go through the story. I'm going to go through the story here of how this took place with Mary and Joseph. And then I'm going to finalize it with, if you happen to pick up one of the outlines, it'll get to the actual points I want to drill down on and just focus on what we really need to take from this powerful, powerful passage. Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, this is the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. The word of the Lord was fulfilled. Zacharias went home. They ended up getting together, and she conceived. Now it's 6 months later, and God's plan is ready to be activated. If you were to take a look, all of these things that are taking place, and you look at your calendar, you will see these events are the exact timing when Jesus was to be crucified in about 33 A.D., depends on who you listen to. That day, that time, God had that calendar marked when he would be crucified, and God simply backed up and said, this is going to happen here, therefore John the Baptist is going to happen here. And it's all beautifully orchestrated by God. In the sixth month, in fact, John the Baptist was born on time, and he was activated on time. You know, there's a term. In fact, I have to read the rest of that verse, and then my next point will make sense. In the 6 months of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel, here's Gabriel again, he had just appeared in the temple not long before that and spoke to Zacharias. The angel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth. Now, don't miss this. So the angel appears to Zacharias in the temple, in the capital city, Jerusalem. Not only would the city have been beautiful, but it is said that the temple would have been one of the most beautiful buildings on earth during this time. We went with Concerned Women of America Monday down to Harrisburg. I learned something I should have known a long time ago. If you've been to our state capital, it is beautiful. And it is actually, so that we know there's 50 state capitals, it is listed by many as the most beautiful state capital in the country. Did you know that? Like, I didn't know that. I mean, it is beautiful, but I didn't know how it compared. It is amazing, and the gold is just everywhere. And it's real gold, by the way. It's gold, whatever they call that, plate or foil. It is, I mean, there's gold, like, everywhere, and it's just palatial. It's magnificent. So we are down there, and I'm going to build a parallel here. So the angel going, first of all, to Jerusalem, get the things going. Where does he go next? Way up north, about 50, 55 miles. He now is at the 6 month of Elizabeth. He goes to this little backwater community we know as Nazareth. Nazareth, you talk about a nothing town. That's Nazareth. In fact, I was thinking about this. It would be like this, because he's going to announce the arrival of the king, right? Goes from Jerusalem, but he doesn't go and stay in Jerusalem. He goes up to Nazareth. It would be like this. In the state capital, we were in there. It was kind of cool. It was kind of strange. It's right before Christmas in our state capital, and all we saw during our visit there were these big carts of gifts that are going into the senator's offices, bottles of booze and bottles of different products that carts and carts of gifts that go in from different business across the Commonwealth. One was Del Grosso. I saw their spaghetti sauce going across, and they got a Del Grosso gift pack. And don't take it out of context. I'm not saying there's anything bad about that or good. I'm just saying there was all kinds of stuff. But anyway, you look and you walk around, and there's all these people, and they're dressed nicely in the state capitol, and they're all the insiders, what we call in the national term, inside the beltway people. You've heard that about Washington. When you're inside the beltway, you're an insider, and this is how the politics works. Well, the parallel I'm trying to draw is this. So let's just say we're looking for a new governor. Who are we going to pick? And you would think, well, it's got to be one of these insiders. But all of a sudden, somebody says, no, go about 55 miles north. You know where that little dumpy town of Treverton is? Yeah? Well, go there, because that's where the next governor is going to come from. Where? Treverton. you know, it looks like the exit wound of the coal region. That's what it looks like. Yeah, that's where he's going to come from. It doesn't seem likely. It's not going to come from here in the capital. This has to be the no. So this is the parallel that he comes down and he goes to Nazareth. Interesting that he would go there. Nazareth, John chapter 1. You remember the encounter when I think it was Andrew that goes to Nathanael, one of the first disciples, said, "Hey, come over here. We found the Messiah. Could this be the Messiah? Jesus of Nazareth." And what does Nathanael say to him? Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? How can this be? It had a reputation probably worse than Treverton. If you're from Treverton, I apologize. But I didn't make that reputation. They've earned it. They probably say that about Jersey Shore. So it's, you know, I guess it's even. Yeah. And then, interesting, in John chapter 7, Nicodemus, you know, he has that encounter with Jesus. Well, he's arguing with the Pharisees because they want to get Jesus arrested. And Nicodemus says, well, no, don't we listen to what somebody says and judge them based on that? Could he be the prophet? And they respond to him, "You search the scriptures. No prophet will ever come up from up there." It's just bad news. They say Galilee, which is where Nazareth was. Like, they have nothing to do with us. They're not from inside the Beltway. This is Nazareth, and the angel goes there, and he encounters this lovely virgin woman. Preparing, she's engaged and getting ready to be married, and her name is, of course, it's Mary. In verse 27 says that she and then Joseph says Joseph is of the lineage of David. And understand why that's very important. This goes back to the book of Genesis. And at the end of the book of Genesis in chapter 49, Jacob is getting ready to die. And he has his sons before him. And he begins to lay hands upon them. And he begins to bless them. And he begins to prophesy. In fact, if you think back a couple weeks, when he prophesied over Levi, which is where Moses came from with the bad temper. He prophesies over Levi. He basically says, "Son, you got a bad temper. You better take control of yourself because you're going to get yourself in trouble." Well, several generations later, here comes Moses. He's from the tribe of Levi. And at the end of his journey, he's so frustrated with the people. God says, "Speak to the rock." Now, we've been in this desert 38, 39 years. Speak to the rock. Just go up and speak, because you struck it 39 years ago. Don't strike it again. Moses comes up, takes the staff, and whammo in front of the people. "Let me show you, you rebels. Well, I'm going to do something for you." And because of that, he didn't get to see the promised land. Well, in any case, this prophetic utterance by Jacob is over. He comes to Judah. In fact, there's a Judah in the house today. We'll talk about that later. It's a middle name, but Josiah is the first one, and that's a really good name too. We'll talk about that later. I love that name. He comes to Judah, and he prophesies something. He says this: "The scepter will never depart from the tribe of Judah." Well, out of Judah, generations later, came a young man. He was the shepherd boy who's out watching the shepherd while the parade is taking place in his house. The prophet Samuel is looking for the next king, and because King Saul wasn't cutting the mustard. God says, "I have selected a king after my own heart. Go to the tribe of Jesse." Guess where he lived? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. He goes in there, and the prophet goes in. Samuel, "Okay, Jesse, bring your sons out. One of those is going to be the king." And they come out. Here comes this parade of sons. Eliab's the oldest, man. He's a cool-looking dude. God says, "That's not the one." And they go, 4, 5, 6 sons, not the one. He says, "Is there any kids around left?" "Oh, there's my son David. He's out doing the father's business in the sheepfold. Call him in." He calls David in, and as you know, God says, "That's the one. Take out your flask of oil and anoint him, because he is my chosen vessel." This is David. 1,000 years later now, this Joseph, and actually if you do the study, Mary as well, they came from the lineage of David from the tribe of Judah. They are the kingly line. This is so perfect. As much as Zacharias and Elizabeth were from the priestly line, they bore a prophet, John the Baptist, that Mary Mary and Joseph were from the line of David, and that's where it comes from, Genesis 49:10. You can look it up later and check me on that. But the angel comes to Mary and says this. It's fascinating. And coming in, he, meaning the angel, said to her, Mary, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. This is going to be really good. Favored one, it really means woman who is richly blessed. You have found favor. In fact, verse 30 says, you have found favor with God. Oh, wow. I wonder what it's going to be. I wonder if he has a Ferrari 2,000 years early. They're going to get that. Because I think they're going to. I wonder what this is going to be. She doesn't know. And he says, you've been favored. It's got to be something really awesome. Well, he begins to tell her these what's going to take place. In fact, let me read it for you. 29. She was greatly troubled at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation might this be. And then the angel lays it on her. Here comes the favor. Angel Lord said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. For you have favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb, and you're going to bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. There it is. There's the favor of the Lord on your life. Aren't you excited? Well, a couple of things going on. And I'm trying to draw a parallel here. So I want to do this. American mothers, many, maybe all of them, would hope that someday their child might even grow up to be the president of the United States. Right? I don't think that's an odd dream because somebody's going to do it. Right? Man or a woman, by the way. This is what it would have been like for the Jewish, especially the Jewish women in that age. That they knew the prophets had said about the Messiah would come one day through the Jewish people. And I'm sure the dreams of many of them would have been, I wonder if it's going to be me. Well, guess what? Mary won. It's like the lottery. And so that's where the favor is, the favor of the Lord. She is richly blessed. Why? Because the Messiah was going to be coming to her. She's going to bear the Messiah, the Savior of her nation. Wow. Huge blessing. So it is hugely favored. The angel, of course, is accurate. It's a huge favor. And again, this part here is fascinating. I hope you are as fascinated as I was when I studied it. 31, and behold, you're going to conceive. Say that with me. You're going to conceive in your womb. The word there is like your belly, in your womb, the natural. And you're going to bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. You're going to conceive. And so if you would look at the Greek, the word there for conceive is syllababo. Syllababo, you don't have to pronounce that one. It's kind of tricky. I can hardly say it. But what it means is this. This is fascinating. It means that you are going to capture something. You're going to receive in your womb, in your belly, you're going to recapture something. Wow. Now, I told you I'm going to interject the account with, and it's not on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, just jump back to Matthew, first chapter. Matthew, first chapter. Because this angel, Gabriel, comes to Joseph in a dream. And I'm going to connect these points. Now, don't forget that the angel told Mary, you're going to capture something in your womb. You're going to conceive. Matthew 1, verse 18. I'm going to start there. And now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, they were engaged. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. Let me hit the pause button for a second. He's going to divorce her. You had to get divorced. Once you were engaged, the parents would sign documents, and typically the woman's family would own land, and they would say, okay, if you marry my daughter, here's the dowry, and you'll get this and you'll get that. And so they would agree, and they would sign documents. But they weren't married yet. Well, they still weren't married, and so now he has to go divorce her somewhere. In fact, I thought about this. He wants to do it secretly. Now, he would have been a Nazareth, do it, with all appearances. He had to certainly be up there. How's he going to do this? And I thought about this. When that little verse says he's going to put her away secretly, I wonder if he says, hey, Mary, this isn't going to work out. Maybe it's time you go visit your aunt, Elizabeth, down near Jerusalem. and go see her. I can't help but wonder if that's not wasn't the impetus of her to go visit that. But we don't know. But again, he's gonna say, this is done. We haven't had relations, and you are pregnant. Wow. But the angel came and he intervened. Thank God. Verse 20. But when he, meaning Joseph, had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what has been, what? Conceived. Same, it would appear to be the same word. It's not. There. Okay, just be ready. Put on your seatbelts. For what has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son. You'll call his name Jesus. But it will be he who will save his people from their sins. So the different word there, the angel comes to Joseph. He's going to put her away secretly. And he says the same thing, it sounds like. That which has been conceived in her, it's a different word. And the word there is geneo. Geneo. And it refers of men who have fathered children. They have been sired. They are the father. This is the seed of the father that has been planted in the womb of the mother. Mary has the womb, and she conceives in her womb. But this geneo is the fact that somehow a seed of a father has been implanted in Mary's womb. And Joseph, you know it wasn't you, but I'm telling you, it's the Holy Spirit that has done this to her. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. What a fascinating... Frankly, if I was Joseph, I'd have rather had a live angel coming to me than a dream. Because sometimes I dream some crazy things, but I'm glad that he believed the word of the angel in his dream. So get this. This is fascinating to me. So let's go back here. I'm going to go back to Luke. The angel tells Joseph that the child is sired through God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in here it is, 35. The angel said to Mary, because she says, "How is this going to happen? Like, I'm not even. I'm just engaged." And the clear mention is the fact this is going to happen, like right now, like real soon. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the what? The power of the Most High God is going to overshadow you." There's something powerful through the Holy Spirit. Dunamis is the word there in the Greek. The Holy Spirit, the power is the dunamis is going to come upon you. Well, I learned something this week. I'd heard it before, but I know. And I'm going to call it the spark of light. The spark of life. The spark of life. So this is from Northwestern University is who released this in 2016 in their studies, and it's entitled, it's very short. Scientists just captured the flash of light that sparks when a sperm meets an egg in humans. Northwestern University, it says this, for the first time ever, science have captured images of the flash of light that sparks at the very moment a human sperm cell makes contact with an egg. There's a flash. There's an energy. There's spark. There's light. There's something dynamic. There's dunamis going on there through God's sovereign plan for mankind. The phenomenon has been observed in animals before, but no one's ever seen the spark of human conception. And what's even more incredible is the fact that some eggs burn brighter than others, which is a direct indication that they're going to be a woman. I say that because I have my wife and three daughters. It doesn't say that. But I think I'm smart to say that. Direct indication of their ability to develop into a healthy embryo, a team from Northwestern University have found. So this dunamis power, this spark, the spark of life. Oh, wow. Well, get this, because again, we've already learned the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come over her, and she's going to be overshadowed. That overshadowed is kind of like, it's actually the same word on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? Jesus is up there, and this cloud comes over them, and Moses and Elijah become, and they begin to speak in this cloud, I call it the glory cloud. God, I pray, anytime you want, fill this place with your glory cloud. When you are worshiping, look for it. I would be so blessed. I would be terrified blessed. But that's how God works. And he shows up in a cloud at times. And the glory of the Lord descended upon her in the spark of light. But here's my point. I want to get to this. So that word that's used there in Matthew, right? This geneo, the seed of the Father, is used often in the New Testament. Here's one. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Jesus, right, as him, as many as received Jesus, to them God gave the right to become what? Children of God. Even to those who believe in his name, who were born, geneo, not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. They were sired by God. If you were a believer, you, in your spirit, you were seated, you were sired by the Heavenly Father. So now he's your father, and he's my father. It is supernatural, and it's fascinating. As much as Mary's conception was supernatural, if you are a believer, the seed of God has been planted in your life. I will say this. Foster that. Foster it. Give it room to grow. Allow it to change you. Don't stifle that growth. I remember when I was a kid, they would tell you, drink coffee, it'll stunt your growth. Then they said, if you smoke cigarettes, it'll stunt your growth. And then they said, if you do all these things, it's going to stunt your growth. I'm thinking, I'm going to grow up to be a midget, or else I've got to quit smoking and quit drinking coffee. I don't know what to do here, right? The spark of life. And then John 3:3, John is speaking with Nicodemus again, and he says this, you'll recognize John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, truly I say to you, unless one is what? Born again. One is geneo. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So we see back here in this story in Luke that the power of the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her. It means to envelop in a haze of brilliancy, the power, the dunamis, the light. The power of God is going to fertilize an egg in Mary's womb. And therefore, he's the God-man. He's the God-man born of a woman, born under the law, and conceived in a woman's womb by the Spirit, the seed of God. And that is how we are redeemed the same way. Wow. Fascinating to me. Okay, Mary, verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? I want to talk about a surrender of plans. We're going to talk about that more later in your outline. But Mary has to surrender some plans here. Now, if you've ever been to a wedding or been in a wedding or help anybody prepare, I wanted to say something. Typically, there's a lot going on to prepare for that day. A lot. And there's a lot of time. There's a lot of emotion. And there's a lot of money. They're laid into those plans. And the timing is going to be soon. She has all these plans laid out. I got my life planned out. How's this going to be? This timing, so this pregnancy, by the way, is not like, and I'll explain this in a minute. She's got, the angel's not saying to her, by the way, you're going to get married and then Joseph's going to be the father. No, that's not it. He's going to serve as the father, but it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. One writer put it this way. Mary's reply shows that she has understood that the promise of the angel rightly as soon to be fulfilled and is not referring to her impending marriage with Joseph, but is independent of the marriage that was soon to take place. Her plans are going to change, and they're going to change soon. Very soon. Maybe that day, we don't know. Verse 32, jump up there, back up. He, your son, will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the name of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his king will never end. I'm sorry, his kingdom will never end. The kingdom of God, God is establishing his kingdom, and he has to begin with something. You know what it is? A king. A king. He is siring a king to make way for the kingdom of God that he is now preparing, which we are part of that, is the church, by the way. And I love this verse, and I'm going to jump down here quickly to verse 36. So Mary, like, how can this be? How's this going to happen? You know, if you want to wonder how something's going to happen, Go to somebody that experienced something that happened to them. We had a prayer time last week, and Tim, this did not escape my notice. Tim has been praying for a change of an appointment sooner. Okay. Say what you want, but we are praying for that. And this past Sunday, we prayed for that. He reaches out to me Monday or Tuesday. Oh, by the way, God's answered my prayer. Like, I got a notice that it's been moved up a month. And he, like, it's that kind of appointment, the sooner the better. So if you're waiting for an appointment that's too long, we're going to pray for that today to be moved up. Because that's how God works. And if you don't believe it, go see this guy. He don't look like Elizabeth, but he'll tell you God works, right? So verse 36 tells Mary, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth, who has been conceived, has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called what? Barren, is now in her sixth month of pregnancy. Mary probably didn't know this. You know Elizabeth, your aunt, or some would say your cousin, we're not sure, they were related. Yeah, she's barren. She's not barren. She used to be called barren, but now she's fertile. The Apostle Paul used to be called murderer of the Christians, but now he's the one who is a Christian himself, and he's become an apostle. And whatever your role in life, does not matter what you were, and it doesn't matter what you think you are. It's a matter of what God says you are and who God says you are. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And don't let anybody else tell you any different. You're a son of the Most High God. And you've been sired by the Holy Spirit. And your spirit was transformed, was made alive. Wow. The one who was called barren is pregnant. Wow. I could just make a message on that verse right there. When you were born again, that's why it's called born again. Your transformation took place in your life. Now, you don't think, let's say, you don't really think about much of maybe when you were a baby. I know you can't remember when you were born. If you do, come and see me. I want to see how you do that. It's probably good that we don't remember it, because is it any wonder that we're all claustrophobic to some extent? I think that comes from birth, right? I mean, come on, how terrible would that be, right? It's bad enough what mom has to endure. Okay. But it's she was once called barren. It's not called barren anymore. You know that guy that used to be called a criminal? That woman that used to be called a drug addict, that woman who was an alcoholic, that man who was a criminal, he was a thief, he was a murderer, you name it. Then now they're called something different, not because they're better people, but because they've been seated by the Holy Spirit, and they've been transformed, and you are now a different person, amen? God is in the business of making new people, by the way, amen? And he did. You go see your aunt or your relative, she's pregnant. What? Mary had to say, what? I'm reading between the lines. Allow me that latitude. What? Yeah, she's barren. She's like 60. Yeah, she's not barren. She's pregnant. Oh, wow. I'm going to go see her. Joseph wants me to see her anyway. That's ad-libbing, by the way. Doesn't say that in the Bible. Pastor said that Joseph wanted her to go to see Elizabeth. Can only wonder. Okay, almost done. But I love this, verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Now, we have options as believers. We can be unbelieving believers, right? Like Nazareth. We talked about the Nazareth effect a couple months ago when Jesus went to his hometown. He was doing all kinds of miracles down in Capernaum. He's mad. People are just flocking him. Goes to his hometown. Wow, I wonder what he can do here. You know, little Jesus that grew up here. Why don't you do some of that stuff that you know, then maybe we'll believe in you. And he says, no prophet is not without honor except in his own town, except in his own village. I know you're going to say to me, physician, heal yourself, but I can't heal you because you don't believe in me. What? No, you don't believe in me. They get really mad. They took him out of the town. They're going to throw him down over the cliff. It's the Nazareth effect of unbelief. It's a cloud of unbelief that affects the church, and I believe it hovers over many churches across this country. We get a rainbow at this church. I don't have it on the slides today, but and Tim came down and took the picture from up here on Schaefer Lane about a month ago. A random storm came out, and the rainbow, I think Tim was probably at his house. Man, look at where that thing seems to be going down towards the church. I'm paraphrasing. I'm guessing that happened. It gets in his Chevy truck. Of course. Ready to go, Tim. Good job. Gets in a Chevy. He comes down in Schaefer Lane, and here's the end of that beautiful bow right there. Like right there. I thought, oh boy, if we'd have been inside, I wonder what we could have seen. It's the favor of the Lord, because God is still in covenant with his church. Amen. Wow. Okay. You say you think you're something special at Life Tree? I think every church is special. We're all sons and daughters who believe. If you are a remnant church these days, you've got to be a remnant church to be considered a church, because the apostate church is alive and well, I'm sorry to say. Okay. Nothing will be impossible with God, and the pairing verse to that is in Matthew 1, verse 24. We don't need to go back to it. When Joseph awoke from his dream, you know what he did? He awoke from his sleep, and he did what the angel said to do. There's a great verse for the church, isn't it? The angel spoke. The Lord spoke. The scripture speaks. Get up and do it. I don't know if you know Alicia. She's not here today. And Kylie's her daughter. And she works at the White Deer Center. And there's many needy women there. Like 80. And they come there. And I'm told they get three items to pick from. You can pick like a pair of socks and a shirt and a pants. Or if you want shoes, you've got to give one of the two back. No, I'm that's my understanding. It may be a little bit different than that. But they've decided that they felt the word of the Lord calling them to people in need. You know, that the church is called to meet people's needs. And so, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself. But we'll talk about the announcements that they have decided to lead a clothing drive for these women, 80 of them. And this church is going to sponsor them and partner with them to do what they're going to do to help these people that don't have. People say, well, you know, they live their own life. That's their fault. You know what? I don't read that in the scripture anywhere. Were it not for the grace of God, there go I. That's not in the scripture, but I'll tell you what, it's a good one. And it could be. Amen? Whew. Praise the Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. He awoke from his sleep and he did it. They didn't just see the need and then didn't do it. So I'm on the streets. I'm standing in New York on 34th Street. There was no miracle. Well, maybe it was. In fact, this verse came to me later. Remember the verse that you entertain angels without knowing it, right? You've heard that. And this isn't a big deal. I'm not patting myself on the back as much. It was an interesting encounter. I'm standing there. They go into the clothing stores, and I just hang out. Actually, New York City is kind of cool. I don't know. I want to get there before Mondami becomes the mayor, because I ain't going there no more, because he's going to pull the police back, and among other problems. But I'm standing there, and this guy comes up, and he lives in the shelter, he told me, asking where he lives. And he's a big, burly guy, and he's probably my age, maybe a little bit older. Looks rough. He's got stains on his shirt, and just kind of disheveled, and he said he lives in. He says, "Hey," and I knew I've been there before. And by the way, when you go to New York, if you don't want people to come to you, wear your sneakers, because they've told me before. These people, they say, we come to people that have nice shoes. And I wore my Thursday boots up there. Now they're not that expensive, but they're nice, and they'll come to you if you have no shoes, because they figure you got money, which I didn't. I didn't even have any cash. He said, well, you got a credit card. He says, I want a coffee. There's a little 7-Eleven there across from Macy's. Can you believe it? I don't even know how they stay in business. There they are. He starts talking to me. I said, well, I asked him some things about him. It was hard to understand because his teeth were missing up front. And I couldn't really understand. I finally got it out. He wanted a hot coffee. Because if you go buy them something, what they'll do is they'll take the receipt and they'll take it back and they'll go buy alcohol. So I said, I don't got no cash. And I said, anyway, he said, I just want a coffee. I said, well, let's go in. We'll get you a coffee. Oh, okay. And we go in. I said, you pick your coffee and go pour it. So he poured a black coffee, and he put about a cup and a half of sugar in it, poured it in there, put the lid on. It got hazelnut. And I said, okay. So we're walking up, and I paid for it. And we walk out. It wasn't a big deal. It was a couple dollar coffee. But he thanked me. And he had a hot coffee, because that's what he wanted. I walked away from that. I'm thinking, I wonder if that's one of those encounters where God says you've entertained angels and they're just asking you a question. How generous are you? You could just tell the guy to go fly a kite. I don't know. Maybe it's just a guy. It doesn't matter to me. You can bless people by the most simplest acts of kindness, can't you? This is Christmas season, by the way. There's a message. You see somebody in need, just meet their need. You see some poor family pull up to the gas pump and the car hardly starts and stops. And the guy gets out and he's got $2. He's going to walk into the cash register. Here's what you say to the guy. Hey, I'll fill your car up. Come on back. Put that $2 in your pocket. All right, you can do that. All right, anyway. Praise the Lord, right? Oh, and Sherry came out of the store and she's watching this encounter. And finally, when we get done, she says, I'm not letting you stand alone anymore out here on these streets, she said. Because it was a big... Yeah, I was cutting into her shopping time. And he was a big dude, by the way. He was a big dude. Like, I didn't want to get in a tussle with him, but I was prepared if I had to be, as you would expect. But thank the Lord it didn't come to that. Okay. Let's see here. We get this. So he awoke from his sleep, and he did what the angel of the Lord said. He took Mary and his wife as his wife, and Luke 1:38. And Mary said to the angel, what'd she say? Did she say, I'm going to have to think about this one, Lord. I know I can be the mother of Messiah, but I got a wedding planned. And you don't really understand the turmoil this is going to cause in my family. They are going to be hating on me and Joseph. And he's going to deny it. And when I tell him about this, he's not going to believe it. This is crazy. I don't know about this. No, here's what she said. Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Amen to that. Wow. Boy, if we had that kind of obedience like Mary and Joseph. So I close with this, a season of surrender. We'll get to your outlines now. You've been patiently waiting. So we talked about, and these aren't on here, but these gifts, the element of surprise. Well, I think Mary was surprised. And I think Joseph was surprised. Well, he's surprised when she's pregnant. And then he's surprised because he gets a visit from the angel. So we have that ingredient here. The purpose and intended, well, the purpose is to deliver the Son of God. But this isn't funny. This is funny. The intended beneficiary, well, it's kind of Mary and Joseph, but the fact is, it's us. They have passed this gift on to us because they said yes. And here we are today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Mary and Joseph, for saying yes. It must be received. Mary says, I'm in. That's my translation. I'm in. Joseph says, I'm in, Lord. Voluntarily given by God to give the seed of his son, Jesus Christ, motivated by love, it has a lasting value. In fact, better, it has an eternal value as this gift at Christmas. Amen? The eternal value. A season of surrender. Here's one, number one, of plans. Of plans. Their plan of immediately living happily ever after in Nazareth was now done. That was their plan. We don't know how long it was going to be till they get married, but he's a carpenter, the Bible tells us, and they probably got their house set aside, and we're going to build a two-story with Tudor siding. It's going to be beautiful with an alcove. That was off. That was done. That was done. The wedding plans were completely upended. They knew what this meant in their culture. In fact, up until about 40 years ago, it was really hard in our culture. Now it's kind of expected. Never. What about our plans, Lord? You don't hear them asking that, do you? The question is, what about our plans? What about what God is calling you to do? Again, I have a fresh illustration. It's not that Kylie and her mom want to spend time getting clothing together for all these people. But there is no other answer for them except them. You're the answer. And your mom's the answer. Travis is the answer. You guys are the answer to their need. And you get to be part of it, by the way. How beautiful is that for Christmas time? Thank the Lord. Number two, the season of surrender of our reputation. Our reputation. What are people going to think about me? Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes this. Although Jesus, says he, Jesus existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be held on to, but he made himself of, King James says it best, of no reputation. Jesus made himself of no reputation, taken the form of a bondservant, and in the process, same thing happened to Mary and Joseph. Their reputation stock went down to nothing. Their reputation in the community, their reputation in their families, in Joseph's family down in, did you hear what happened up in Nazareth to Joseph, our cousin? Terrible. It's disgrace. Their reputation was shot. Remember that song, Wake Up Little Susie? When that hit the radio in the 50s, parents were crazy bad, mad about that because they allegedly fell asleep at the movie theater and it was very bad. It was, I get that. Now, today, it's kind of expected, right? Yeah, wake up, little Susie. Our reputation is shot, the word says. He took the form of a bondservant, ruined his reputation in the same sequence he did that for Mary and Joseph. What about our reputation? What are people going to think about us? What will people think of us if we spend our time doing whatever for the kingdom of God? People are like, you're a little crazy over there. You know, why aren't you doing this? Because all the world does this, and you're not doing that. And why don't, here's one. Why do you give to the house of the Lord? Take your money and put it in the bank. Forget about the house of the Lord. Well, here's what Sharon and I concluded years ago is this. We had to decide whether we're a better manager of our money or God is. And I tell you what, I stood right back there. I never forget, the Spirit hit me. And he says, Don, the Lord said, Don, you believe you can handle your money better than I can. And you know what I said? You're right. That's what I thought. I thought I could manage my money. That's why we tithe. In obedience, that's why we tithe. Is this message on tithing? No. I'll let the Spirit speak to you. I know what the word of the Lord says. People say, this isn't in the message. This is free. I see it and I always respond to it. I see it on like YouTube. Oh, the New Testament doesn't teach tithing, except for the time that Jesus says, he told the Pharisees, you should tithe as well as give offerings. Jesus said it. Yeah. When people say it's not in the New Testament, they don't know the New Testament. And they always revert to what Paul says. I think it's 1 Corinthians 8. They said, let a man give freely according to his will, not begrudgingly. You know what that applies to? The offering. Because Paul was collecting. You know what he was collecting? An offering. And he says, let a man give according to the willness of his heart. That's the offering. And it's not the tithe section. People just need to learn what the Bible says. Okay. Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, you can't outgive God, and it's true. Praise the Lord. And if you think you can handle your money better than God, you take it up with him. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Whew. And then the last thing, you're probably glad there's only three dots, right? Three lines. Oh, and one more thing. You have to surrender your definition of favor, by the way. Your definition of the favor of the Lord, because the favor of the Lord isn't always what you would think it favor might be. But lastly, you're going to surrender control. The account of Mary and Joseph is an account of complete and total surrender of their lives. When Sharon and I went up to the airport church in Toronto in 1994, it was called the different names, the Toronto Revival, the Toronto Blessing. It occurred it's called the airport church up there. And Pastor Arnott is his name. So it was the 20th year anniversary of that movement of God. And so we went up for that. I'll never forget. It was so cold that day. We were up in January. We drove up to Toronto. And we go into the church. But you know who was speaking? Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker, charismatic, Pentecostal, powerful woman of God. Her and her husband, Roland Baker, gave up their lives in America and moved to Maputo, Mozambique, and began Iris Ministries, one of the most powerful ministries, I think, on the planet. And they gave their lives. And she preached on this passage. And I never forget, and I have it in my notes, and I'm going to share this to you. Here's her words, and it's very short. God has placed something special inside of you that's precious to him. It's a vision, it's a dream, it's a thought, and it's a calling. And God has placed something inside, and you are responsible to carry what God has put in your lives, just like Mary and Joseph were. You could say, I'm out, God, I'm going to abort this plan. It's not going to work. God says, I placed something special inside of you. Will you carry it the full term for me? God, it's hard. My reputation. It's not going to work. I don't see how this is going to work. God says, say, just trust me. Are you willing to be inconvenienced? Is the other thing she said. Are you willing to be inconvenienced by what God has placed inside of you? Mary and Joseph were. You talk about inconvenience. They're going to be on the run. They're going to go down into Bethlehem. We'll talk about that next week. They're going to go, and there's no room for them in the end. Well, there was probably room in the family's houses, but not for this couple that has a child out of wedlock. There's no room for you guys over here. His family was from there. Couldn't an aunt put him up somewhere? No room for you. Sorry. He goes, go stay in a stable over there. Oh, and the child is born, and all of a sudden Herod wants to murder the child, and they get the word, and now they can't even go back home. They got to go, and they go to a foreign land with this little baby, and they're going into Egypt saying, God, this is the child you gave us, and now it doesn't even seem like you're protecting us. Just go to Egypt. And they did, till Herod died, and then they came back, but his son was on the throne, so they went back to Nazareth. And the last thing she said, and I've already talked about, are you willing to carry it to full term? And I'll give Heidi and Roland Baker credit. They have. And they have faced almost impossible odds at times, and God has worked supernaturally because of their faith. So that's it. Sorry, I ran a little bit longer on my message, but I started with, Mary, did you know? And so the question we've got to be thinking about, Joseph, and think about Mary, did they know what they were facing? Did they know what they're up against? But I can tell you this, if you were to ask them later in life, would they have made a different decision? They would say, absolutely not. We raised the Messiah. And speaking of that, here's the God of the universe trusting his son in the care of a poor man and a poor woman. Nazareth, can you imagine it? Believing and knowing that they would care for this child and raise it in the admonition of the Lord. Raise this child. Care for this child. Protect this child. Wow, what a calling, the greatest gift. I'll ask the worship team to come, and we're going to have a time of prayer. Of course, we have an altar call. It's open. God, it's got, you know, I know I say a lot of stuff here, but I want to just challenge your thinking, challenge all of our thinking. What is God saying to me? It doesn't really matter what the pastor says. It does matter what the word of the Lord says. But what's the Holy Spirit saying to all of us? I believe that the Lord wants to ignite a fire in the hearts of every person today. I believe that. I believe that we as Christians should be passionate. I've had people say to me when I start talking about stuff, they said, whoa, whoa, yo, whoa, whoa. It's like, no, whoa, whoa. This is important. And this is something that I'm passionate about. I'm not talking about football. I'm not here to decry it, but I don't really care about it. I don't care. Like, whatever, Steelers, I'd like them to win. I don't care if they win or not. I'm not against football. But everybody, I'm tired of going to funerals and celebrating men that the greatest thing in their life was the buck they shot. I'm just going to say it, and I'm not against buck hunting. And I love hunter. I'm a hunter myself. I don't hunt anymore. I'm not against it. That is not the priority of my life as the buck that I shot. And I'm so brokenhearted when I go and just went to one last week. Oh, you heard the Lord outdoors basically saying he never went to church. I don't know who you're worshiping. I want God to light a fire in every heart in here today. Amen. The fire of the Holy Spirit, as it ignited in the womb of Mary, my heart is that your spiritual wombs will be ignited today. Fire of God, come down upon this place. Amen? Let the glory of the Lord, the cloud, overshadow us today as it did to Mary, and ignite our spirits, ignite our hearts. I know we started late, so you owe me a little time, so I'm going to finish and we're going to sing a song. Pray the glory of the Lord would just ignite your hearts today. We're going to sing fire fall down on this house. Amen. Tim and I have communicated. You're going to see Tim. He's got a passion that God laid something on his heart today. This week. And we've talked about this. And he's going to be, you're going to see Tim just allow the Holy Spirit to work through him. Allow the Holy Spirit to work at the altar. Just allow God to move. You know what? As I said, Tim got an answer to prayer this week. I'm going to take his, you're on fire. You're on fire. He's got something to share with you. If you want prayer, Tim is one of our elders. His wife, Chris, Pastor Cher. We have other prayer ministers here. We will pray with you. Let the Holy Spirit reign in this house today. Please stand. God, we open our hearts to you. God, I thank you for lighting a fire in the womb of a young virgin named Mary. Father, thank you for siring the salvation plan for the human race, which is why we're here today. We are not despondent as those that have no hope, the word of the Lord says. But we've been given hope. And we've been given victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, born of a virgin, born under the law, to redeem those of us that were under the constraints of the law. Thank you for the freedom that sets us free. I pray, Father, the fire of the Lord God will fall on this house. Anybody that needs an impartation of the Holy Spirit today, God, I pray you'll set them on fire. And I would encourage you to go to Pastor Sherry, one of the elders, and allow them to lay hands on you. If you need healing, we have a number of you that do. And we are believing that God is going to ignite a fire in your belly. And some of you have concerns over cancer. Some of you have concerns over blockages. And I'm concerned with you, by the way. And I'm going to pray that God releases those blockages and God removes any cancer and any thought of cancer and any type of ailment in your body. I believe the Holy Spirit will fall upon you as much as the Holy Spirit sired the Savior of the earth in a virgin's womb. I believe he's going to sire something amazing today through the power in the name of Jesus Christ and him alone. God, I pray your Holy Spirit will fall in this house today. You'll ignite our hearts and our lives to be passionate for you and living as though knowing nothing will be impossible with the Lord. God, we bless you today and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing with us. Worship with us. Come forward and pray. Someone will pray with you. I'm praying for an impartation of the Holy Spirit of fire. Sing with us.
Came to fix my broken life, and I sing to glorify your holy name, Jesus Christ.
be the same. Fall down on
believe that I believe it's in accordance with the word of the Lord, or I wouldn't be saying this. I think there's a reason why many in the American church aren't passionate. And I'm not making excuses, but I believe one of the reasons is because their leaders aren't passionate. Their pastors are passionate. Their teachers are passionate. And I know Pastor Sherry and the elders would agree with me that we show passionate not as a show. We show as passionate because we know that that's what God wants His church to be, on fire. On fire for the things of God. Not only believing them, but living them out. Unapologetically, knowing that we will see Him face to face someday, and we will give an account. And my prayer, and my heart, and these leaders with me, would be that, God, we want to show them the way, passionately to be in love with You, passionately to serve You, passionately to be obedient to You in all things. That's our prayer. Fire fall down. God, we pray that the fire of the Holy Spirit would ignite every soul within the hearing of our voice. God, thank You, Father, for what You're doing, what You've done, and what You're going to do. We bless You in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. If you'll just take your seat, we have one or two things to share with you, and then we will be prepared to cut the video, because I have one more thing I want to say once we've done that, but we're not quite ready yet. One or two things. So 6 o'clock, prayer is on this week, Wednesday, weather permitting, and I think it's going to be okay. We hope to see you here for a time of word, time of passion, learning and worship. Christmas Eve service is going to be 5 o'clock. Don't come at 6 o'clock. You'll get the cookies, but you won't get the service. So it's 5 o'clock, Christmas Eve. We plan to be here, and trust the weather is good for that. We hope to see you. Invite your friends. Please have them come. We'll have a great time. Wear your holiday or your Christmas stuff, would you? I'll wear my scarf that I wore in New York, if I remember. Here's a warning to you. This is the perfect Christmas gift right here, a 12-ounce bag of wonderful coffee. And we get the best price because we buy it wholesale from Carl, the Christian coffee guy. And so from Alabaster, there's 4 different kinds to pick from. One is a decaf. So if you're a decaf person, that's there, and some other varieties. Today is the last day. If you forget and you go home and you say, oh, I should have ordered coffee, email the church, secretary@lifetreeepa.com. We'll get that, and we'll put your order in because we're going to order Monday, I think. Yeah, we'll order Monday. This is a perfect Christmas. You're looking for a perfect Christmas gift for somebody you don't want to spend a lot of money on. This is it right here. It's very thoughtful. And you'll show them that you love them. You don't want it back. You're going to bless them, and it's only going to cost like $15. That's a perfect Christmas gift, right? Okay, where is it? Where is the sign-up sheet? Welcome Center. All right, I want to see a line out there. This is for you. We want to bless you by giving you a great gift to give to other people. Here we go. Here we go. This is new. White Deer Center Women's Clothing Drive, right? And it's for women. So I want to clear. Is that right? Okay, we're not taking men's clothes right now. Although some men wear women's clothes, and I'm not going to talk about that. Here we go. Women's Clothing Drive now through Sunday. So we have 2 weeks, the 28th. New or used in good condition, okay? So if it's new, it's going to be new or used in good. Don't bring anything in with dog hair on it, okay? You know what I'm saying. Just be, I'm going to bless these people. Sizes specifically need small, medium, large. If you have an extra large, they'll take that because someone will suit that as well. Drop-off box is in the east hallway. If you know your directions, that's over here. I was going to say in the bathroom side, but it didn't look nice on the graphic. So I said the east side. It's more sophisticated, right? Okay. So please, Kylie, anything else I need to add to that? Got it covered? Okay, thank you, you guys and your mom, for coordinating. Pastor Sherry, anything else that you saw in the text string that I need to be thinking about? Okay, and LifeTree is going to participate, by the way. You give to this church. Very rare that we'll ever ask for a special offering. I'm not against them, but we rarely do that. Why? Because you're generous people. And when people come to us, we don't need to ask for a special offering. You've given out of faith And we take that money and we have it available. Right? Dave has not said that's how it works in the kingdom of God, right? There's never a lack. So we will also bless them as part of the church, and we will partner with that ministry. Sherry does have something to say. Is that my scarf? No, it's hers. Okay. Show me that button. Good.
Oh. Okay, there we go. I just wanted to emphasize that apparently the ladies at the facility, they go from place to place, like different buildings, and from what I'm told from Elise. And they need like seasonal specifics, winter clothes. Like, for instance, if you get down to Sam's Club, you can get those fuzzy lined. They're like $15. They're if you want to buy new. If you want to go to what's it called? The Salvation Army type place,